Good morning. The reading this morning is from Acts 10, verse 34 through 43. Peter crosses the immense religious and social boundary that separates Jews from Gentiles in order to proclaim the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, so that God's forgiveness in Jesus' name would reach out to the Gentiles just as it had the Jews. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Christ is risen.
Is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please stand
as you would turn and face the reading of the gospel, as the good news comes into the midst of God's people. The Easter gospel is from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. Now when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out, and they fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The good news of Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Lord. Risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Here's another word. Earthquake. Maybe in the Midwest that doesn't scare us as much, but if you and I were living in California, I'm sure that would be something that we would be terrorized about. The very word conjures up our deepest fears. We build strong towers, we secure our walls, and we build stable foundations, right? But something up near the top of the Richter scale turns all that stuff to dust and fragments. Whether it's in Haiti, or China, or Chile, or Japan, or one day in San Francisco again, we have these images of huge rips on our highways and buildings rumbled to the core. And more than anything, the sense of being buried alive, scarcely able to move, with a massive mountain of concrete lying upon our chest, and we ask ourselves, who will roll away this stone? So put yourself back on Good Friday, 33 AD. Jesus' body is safely tucked away in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And covering that tomb is one enormous stone. Focus on that stone just for the moment. It's huge. It's solid. It's very, very heavy. It's utterly immovable. It's unforgiving. It's not the kind of thing that's going to die, and you can't negotiate with it. It's covering the tomb. It's the final statement of Jesus' death, and it's not going anywhere. I want you to imagine that stone and the power of what it represents through the eyes of those who participated in that first Easter morning. Think first of the three women that we just heard about who came to the tomb that early Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and then another woman by the name of Salome. They asked one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us?" For these three women, the stone represented the depths of their grief. They had loved, they had lost, they had dared to hope, and the object of all that had now been captured, cruelly beaten, unjustly tried, ridiculed, and ruthlessly executed. The stone was the barrier between them and their past. A past in which they believed in Jesus, they believed in God, they believed in themselves, they believed in the power of love, they believed in gentleness and generosity and forgiveness and healing and grace and gladness and truthfulness and even joy. Yes, they believed in joy. They really had. Just for a moment, they found a life that they had never known before, a hope that they thought would never die, a love that they could only imagine. But all of that died on Good Friday. Life, hope, love, they had all died. They were all there, now squashed and squelched behind that huge stone. So getting up early to anoint Jesus' body with spices was a way that these women were preserving this wondrous memory, of keeping alive something they couldn't accept was really dead, of honoring a legacy that they had never had before. It was an act of gratitude and beauty and dignity in the face of a gruesome and final defeat. And the undeniable evidence of that defeat was this massive, immovable stone. Now for a moment, change your perspective away from the women. Think about the Roman and religious authorities and how they thought about the stone. For the people running Jerusalem in 33 AD, that huge, heavy, immovable stone represented their power, their authority, and their being in control. They knew their rule was based on a lie. The religious leaders like Caiaphas, the high priest, were Roman appointees. They lived with daily humiliation and its crushing compromises. The Romans themselves proclaimed a peace called the Roma Pax Romanus, a peace that was in truth no more than just a slogan. And somehow it was really about one army over against another. But such lies seemed a small price to pay for the social and economic and political privileges of being the ruling elite. Jesus had been a serious threat to all these cozy arrangements. By healing on the Sabbath, forgiving sins and cleansing the temple and being called king, he clustered together all the authorities' worst fears. Having Jesus safely dead and silencing the voices seeking religious renewal and social reform, this was what the stone represented to the Jerusalem authorities. Their power was lodged uneasily in the present, not likely to last very long at all. But this execution meant it was safe for another day. The great immovable stone was a bold statement that anyone who came in their way would be squashed like a fly. But what about Jesus? He's the figure at the center of this story. What did the stone mean for him? On Palm Sunday, he rode into Jerusalem on this colt, and it somehow just epitomized this whole entry of humanity meeting God, shouting Hosanna. But 5 days later, everything unravels. The people turn their back on their leader. And on the cross on Good Friday, even the Son discovers he's forsaken by his father. He dies utterly alone, disowned by humanity and deserted by divinity. That's what the stone represents to Jesus, his separation from humanity and his separation from God. But today we witness as the stone is rolled away the most fundamental truth of all, the one that St. Paul said as he wrote, nothing whatsoever, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. None, certainly not a large stone, can separate us from God or from Jesus. So mighty stone, do your best. You've been here since the beginning of time, but it's time for you to just roll on by. There's a force greater than gravity working here. The stone is rolling away. For the two Marys and Salome, the stone represented the past, the glorious but failed memory of a dream that died. For Jerusalem authorities, the stone represented the present, the compromise but merciless control that they exerted while it lasted. And for Jesus, the stone represented the future. It was a symbol that nothing can separate God from him or him from us. Every permanent, immovable, unshakable obstacle you could possibly think of between us and God, between death and life, between this life and the life to come, every single one of them is going to find itself going the same way as that stone, rolling, rolling. And what about your stone? What does the stone represent for each and every one of you? Reflect for a moment on what is standing, heavy, unshakable, immovable, between you and life, between you and love, between you and healing, between you and God. Think again about that image of the earthquake, you lying there, scarcely able to move, with a huge slab of concrete across your chest, asking yourself, Who's going to roll away this stone? Is that where you've been for a long time? Are you paralyzed with a great weight across your body, buried under cynicism or indifference or suffering or sadness? We're all like those three women, you know. We all ache for a glimpse of glory, a taste of joy, a hint of a dream, a vision of hope. But you know what? We're all a little more than we care to admit, like those Jerusalem authorities, full of compromises that promise to secure control, full of broken promises made fragile by our anxiety and reluctance to live with uncertainty, full of lies and secrets and half-truths and shabby pretenses. The stone seems unshiftable, doesn't it? It's there somehow because we don't have the courage or the faith or even the imagination to somehow move that stone away, to think any different. Don't forget that when Jesus' friend Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days in that tomb, Jesus tells Mary and Martha to take away the stone. Martha has nothing to do with that. And Jesus' answer to her is uncomplicated. Do you want to see the glory of God or don't you? Well, he's asking us the same question today. Easter, you see, is going to unravel our habitual grief. Easter is going to dismantle our grubby compromises. Easter is going to unsettle our lingering sadness about the past and our half-baked ways of negotiating the present. Because Easter's asking us the same question. Do we want to see the glory of God or don't we? So just another moment of imagination. Hear the whisper of all wonders. Just for a moment, lift your hearts and open your eyes on this Easter day. It's Easter morning. What might it be like if that stone was rolled away for you? Easter's about something more powerful, you see, than an earthquake. An earthquake is when the when in deep in the bowels of the earth, something shifts and the effects are felt on earth's surface. Easter is a heaven quake. A heaven quake is when deep in the heart of heaven, something shifts and the earth is never the same again. Here comes the heaven quake then. Keep your eyes on this massive stone. It's starting to move. It's starting to roll. Watch it roll. Watch that heaven quake roll away the stone of your past. Yes, there's sadness back there. Yes, there's shattered dreams and broken hearts. Yes, there are missed opportunities and failed hopes. Yes, there's bitterness and resentment, old wounds and promises broken. Yes, there's hurts you cannot forget and promises that you don't remember. But the stone's rolling from the tomb of your past. It's rolling. Watch it roll and ask yourself, do I want to see the glory of God or don't I? And this is where you can add yes to that. Do you want to see the glory of God or don't you?
Yes.
That's it, huh? Watch that earth and that heaven quake roll away the stone of your present then. Yes, there's compromises. Yes, there's the ways you've sold out that would have horrified your youthful idealism. Yes, there's ways you've domesticated Jesus and kept the church at arm's length and turned dreams into busyness and programmed your life so much there wasn't space even to imagine. Yes, you read the Beatitudes and you don't recognize yourself in any of them. Yes, you count the fruits of the Spirit and you realize that you haven't felt joy or peace or gentleness or kindness for years. And yes, your heart is dominated by fears about money and the fragileness of love and the anxiety of your own mortality and the sense of your own worthlessness. But hey, folks, the stone's rolled away from the tomb of your present. It's rolling. Watch it roll and ask yourself, do you want to see the glory of God or don't you?
Yes.
Watch that heaven quake roll away the stone of your future. Yes, I know you've had this massive slab of concrete across your chest weighing you down as long as you can always remember. It's hard to imagine your future without it, right? But the stone's rolling today. It's rolling away your past, it's rolling away your present, and now it's coming for your future. You've always felt others were closer to God than you. And yes, you've always feared that the hope of God was a fantasy. Yes, you've always found prayer difficult. Yes, yes, you said somehow that you think the church is full of hypocrites, even more worse than yourself. And yes, you feel paralyzed in the face of your own death and the expectations of your family and the limitations of your own energy and resources. Yes, you're terrified. Terrified to entrust your body and soul to the everlasting arms of the crucified Savior. But folks, the train's left the station. The ship has already sailed. The stone is rolling away. Watch it roll and ask yourself, do you want to see the glory of God or don't you?
Yes.
The stone has rolled. Let it roll. Feel the joy of all of your grief and folly and fragileness and failure rolling on with it. Let it roll. Feel your heart burst with the wonder of this resurrection. Let it roll, let it roll, and let it roll. This is a heaven quake. Jesus is risen. The stone of death and grief, the stone of sin and control, the stone of fear and paralysis, they couldn't hold that stone steady. They've rolled, people. The stones, all the stones of our life have rolled this day. And your past and your present have rolled with them, but your future is still open. The stone has rolled away, and the future now is exposed to the fresh air of early morning and new life. Do you want to see the glory of God, or don't you?
Yes.
It's Easter. It's a heaven quake. It's the day of rolling stones. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.